For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is October the 18th. We are beginning Parshas Balak, page 856. And for those who are listening, we are in person for the first time since before Pesach. Baruch Hashem. So Parshas Balak runs on the heels of Parshas Chukas. At the end of Parshas Chukas, we learned about the Jews' battle with Sihon and with Og, and how we defeated Sihon and Og and took over their land, which is on the east bank of the Jordan River in what is present-day Jordan. We took over that area. The Jews are there. We learned that in the battle, in capturing Sihon, Sihon had a fortress, a city that was a fortress. The name of the city was Cheshbon. We learned that at the end of Parshas Chukas. The name of the city was Cheshbon. Cheshbon was originally a city that was not owned by Sihon and by the Amori being the nation that Sihon was the king of, but rather it had been owned by Moab. It was owned by Moab, and there had been a battle many years prior to the story in the Chumash. There was a battle between Moab and the Amori, Sihon leading the Amori, and he could not dislodge the Moab people out of this fortress, Cheshbon. And Sihon went to Bilam and got Bilam to curse Moab. And after Bilam cursed Moab, now Sihon was able to defeat Moab and was able to take over the city of Cheshbon. Then we came in many years later and we defeated Sihon and took everything over ourselves. But that incident, that battle between Sihon leading the Amori against Moab and Bilam's intervention, Bilam actually changed the outcome of that war, so that showed the Moab people that Bilam was a force and that Bilam could change what otherwise would have happened. So now that the Jews have parked themselves in the countries that were formerly led by Sihon and Og, and the Jews are therefore now on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, they're on the east bank of the Jordan River, but Moab and Ammon as well are also right in that area, and they are scared. Moab is scared of the Jewish people. So the Parshas Balak begins, Vayar Balak ben Tzippor, Eskol Asher Asa Yisrael lo Amori, Balak ben Tzippor saw all that the Jews did to the Amori. That's to Sihon and the Amori. Vayagar Moav mipnei ha'am ma'od, and Moav was very scared of the nation, ki ravhu, because there were many, the Jews were many. Vayakats Moav mipnei b'nei Yisrael, and the Moav people, they were disgusted by the Jewish people. They were disgusted by our existence. So they wanted to know what to do. Vayomer Moav el Ziknei Midyan. So the Moav people contacted the elders of Midyan. Now Midyan is a new player. We've had Moav, we've had Ammon, we've had Sihon and Og and the Amori. Now we have a new player, Midyan. So Moav reaches out to the elders of Midyan and they say, Ata now, Yelachachu HaKahol Es Kol Seviv Osenu. This congregation, meaning the Jews, will lap up, will, what's the word they use here?
Lick up,
okay. All of our surroundings. Kilchoch hashor eserek hasadeh. As a bull, laps up all of the vegetation of the field. Meaning when you have bulls grazing the land, then the land is totally barren after they're finished with it. And then, now the Torah tells us something which he did not tell us before. In the first pasuk of the parasha, it just mentions Balak's name. But now we find out his position. Uvalak ben Sipor melech leMoav ba'isahi. Balak ben Sipor was the king of Moab at that time. Now, anybody reading this, we read it knowing this information already. We're aware that Balak is the king of Moab. But it seems very strange that the Torah tells us in the beginning of the page, Vayar Balak ben Sipor. Balak ben Sipor saw. Who's Balak ben Sipor? We never heard of the man before. And the Torah tells us, Balak ben Sipor saw what the Jews did. Why not say, Balak ben Sipor, the king of Moab? Because if you don't say the king of Moab, then the reader's reaction should be, Balak ben Sipor saw. Who cares? Who's Balak ben Sipor? What do we care what he saw and what he thought and what he said? So tell us that he's the king of Moab. Now it matters. If he's the king of Moab, well, then his impression is important. But the Torah doesn't tell us that until here. So clearly that's important. That's a deliberate omission in the beginning of the parasha. Pasuk 8, verse 5. Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Boor. So he, Balak, sent messengers to Bilam, the son of Boor. Pisora means to Pisor. Pisor is the name of the place. The hay at the end of the word is like a lamed in the beginning of the word. It's like saying lipisor. To Pisor. Asher al Hanahar, which was on the river. Doesn't tell you which river. Sounds like the river is a well-known river. Eretz b'nei amo, the land of his nation. His nation means Balak's nation, meaning Bilam resided in Pisor, which was on the river, which was the land where Balak had come from. Balak was knew the area. Likro lo, to call to him. So he sent messengers to Bilam to call to him. I'm just going to see how they translate that. They say, summoning him, to summon him. Okay. Lamar saying, Hine am yatsami Mitzrayim. Behold, a nation has come out of Mitzrayim. Hine chisa esein haaretz. Behold, they've covered the eye of the land, meaning you can't see the land. There's too many Jews around. The Jews are blocking the land. You can't see anything. Vuhu yoshev mimuli, and they dwell, the Jews are dwelling right next to me. Now, go now and curse this nation for me. Ki atzum humi many, for it is stronger than I am. Ulai uchal nakebo, maybe I'll be able to diminish them a little bit. I'll be able to hurt them a little bit. Vagar shenu min haaretz, and chase them away from the land. Ki adati, because I know, eis asher tevarech mevorach, v'asher ta'or, you are. That which you bless is blessed, and that which you curse is cursed. I know you have that power, so please go and curse the Jewish people. I want to read, really we have to stop here and talk about what we just read, but I want to read one more pasuk because we introduced the elders of Midian, but there was nothing happened with them. Moab just had sent messengers or had said to the elders of Midian, now what? Now what's going to happen with this nation that's here? But the elders of Midian seem to have just been spoken to, but nothing else happened with them. So if you look in this next pasuk, which really is the beginning of the next part of the story, Vayelchu ziknei Moab viziknei Midian, the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian went, uksamim biyadam, and they had their sorcery in their hands. How do they translate that? They translate it as?
Charms.
Charms, okay. That means they took their magic wands or whatever they had. Vayavo el Bilam, and they came to Bilam. Vayidabru elav divrei Balak, and they spoke to him the words of Balak. So we have here, what characters do we have? We have Balak ben Sipor, who, by the way, is the king of Moab, but apparently that wasn't important enough to say right in the beginning. That's number one. We have, of course, Bilam, who hasn't yet said anything, hasn't yet been part of the story, but we're talking about him. We have the elders of Midian, and we have the elders of Moab. Those are our people over here. Now, really, Moab had nothing to worry about. We know this because we know that we Jews were commanded not to attack Moab. We learned this already in Parshas Chukas. We were not allowed to attack Moab. So, had they left well enough alone, then we would have left well enough alone. We had no beef with the Moab people. We weren't even going in that direction. At this point, if you're looking at the map facing me, if you're looking at the map, so the Jews are coming from east to west into Eretz Israel. They had to, if you recall, the land of Moab, the land of Ammon, were locking us out because we weren't allowed to attack either Moab or Ammon. But there was a little strip of land that had been conquered by the Amori through Sichon. We were able to go through that little strip of land and then get past the Moab and Ammon lands. We're further east now, and we've conquered the interior lands all the way up to the border of Eretz Yisrael, up to the river, to the Jordan River, to the Yarden. So really, we're headed on a westerly trajectory. We're heading towards Eretz Yisrael. We're parked here for the time being until Moshe Rabbeinu's death, which is actually not that far away from where we're up to. And, I mean, in the Chumash, it's a long way away, but in terms of time, it's not that far away. It's just a few months away. And Moshe Rabbeinu's death, then Yehoshua will take over, and then we will cross the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael. We're not interested in the lands that we already went past, which were Ammon and Moab. We're done with them. So Moab really could have left well enough alone. But Moab was scared. But Moab wasn't just scared. What else was Moab besides scared? They were anti-Semites. You want to say?
No, I didn't want to say they were anti-Semites. It seems to me that, you know, they're pagans and they're encountering something very different. And they're trying to get a representative of this very different thing.
You're saying in how to attack them.
Right.
Right. That's true. Good, good. So we're going to talk about that, of why they sent...
Somehow the Jewish people are protected by something very different than...
Right. Very good.
Experience.
Okay, excellent. So hold that thought, because we're going to get to that about their actual sending for Bilam. But look back in the beginning where it says that, Pasuk Gimel verse 3, Vayagar Moav mipnei ha'am. Moav was scared of the nation, Moav very much, ki ravu, because they were many. Okay, that makes sense, they were scared. Vayakatz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. The Moavites were disgusted by the Jewish people. Usually, when you're scared of somebody or of a group, you're not disgusted by them. The feeling you have is of fear. You're afraid of them. Now, if you wouldn't be afraid of them, you might be disgusted with them. But typically, the sense of fear doesn't allow for a sense of disgust. Disgust, in order to be disgusted with something, you have to have a little bit of a sense of a superiority over that thing. You know, that's disgusting. You have to have that, right? Usually fear overrides a sense of disgust. But Moav was afraid, and they were disgusted. They were disgusted with us. That means they hated Jews. They didn't like us. It wasn't just that they were afraid of us. They didn't want us around. Meaning, some of them might have been concerned that we would turn around and fight with them. But even the ones who weren't afraid of that, they didn't want us in their neighborhood. We were bringing down the property values. They wanted us out. So everybody in Moab was interested in getting rid of the Jewish people. Now, Balak, here, as it says, saw what happened to the Amori. Then, where we leave Balak out for a minute, we're informed that Moav was both scared and disgusted with the Jewish people. And then, in Pasuk Daled verse 4, the Moav sends to the elders of Midian about this analogy to the ox, the bull that laps up everything. And we're also destroying everything. And then it says, Balak ben Sipor was the king at that time. So, our sages tell us, and Rashi cites it, that in Pasuk Dalet in verse 4, at the end of the Pasuk, when it says, Uvalak ben Sipor melech lemoav ba'is hahi, Balak ben Sipor was the king at that time, the implication is, he had not been the king until this time. And Chazal tells us historically what happened is that when we came into the neighborhood, Balak was not the king of Moab. In fact, Balak was actually from the leadership of Midian. Let me double check that. I'm pretty sure that's correct. 1 minute, please. He was from the leadership of... Yeah. He was from the leadership of Midian. And the Moab people decided they needed a new king in order to deal with the Jewish threat. So they took someone from the leadership of Midian. Now, why would they take from the leadership of Midian? First of all, you can't find a Moab person who's fit for the job. And second of all, if you need to go, you need to go external to find someone, why Midian? I mean, go to Egypt, go to Babylonia, go wherever you want. Why are you going to Midian? So again, Chazal tell us, because they knew, as was pointed out, that the Jewish people were winning wars in a supernatural way. And they knew the Jewish leader had a lot to do with it. This Moshe person was, they knew that he wasn't a regular human being. That things were happening that were not normal. And they researched Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, in those days, if you Googled Moshe Rabbeinu, you would get a lot of hits in Midian. Because remember, Moshe Rabbeinu, although he grew up in Egypt, but then he ran away to Midian, and he had been in Midian for 40 years, and he married in Midian. So he's got a lot of ties to Midian. So when they realized that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing a lot of things for the Jewish people, they consulted with the elders of Midian. And when that happened, they actually took a leader from Midian, and his name was Balak.
Yes. And he went back to tell everyone that they should follow Jewish people. So how would that fit with this?
Right. So we don't know. We don't know. It seems to me that you're correct that he must have known what was going on because it would have been a public thing happening over here. And he was not in control of the country. He wasn't the leader. He wasn't the king of the country. So, but there must have been, right, there must have been some, he would have known what was going on. Perhaps he sent word to the Jewish people. It's not clear what would have happened over there, but he must have known. He must have known. So they take Balak, but Balak actually has a colorful history himself. He's not just someone from the leadership of Midian who now is taken as king of Moab. Balak grew up in another country altogether. What country did he grow up in? He grew up in the country where Bilam comes from. And what country is that? That country is the country where we come from. Not Israel. Not Egypt. From where Abraham's family, not Ur Kasdim, but where they went from Ur Kasdim. Which is Haran. Which we're going to learn about at the end of this week's parasha, Parashas Noach, that Avraham took his family, they went from Ur Kasdim, they went to Haran. Terach actually took the family to Haran, and they stopped there, and then Avraham took the family further into Eretz Yisrael. So...
Are they related to Laban?
Yes. Bilam is related to Laban. So, Balak really has a broad picture that gives him a perspective. He first of all grew up in Haran. Haran is where Avram's family was when he went on to Israel, which means that that's where Rivka comes from, that's where Rachel and Leah come from, that's where Lavan was, etc. So he grew up there. In fact, he had a childhood buddy, Balak did. You know what Balak's childhood buddy's name was? Bilam. And in fact, Bilam told Balak at one point, I have a prophecy that one day you will become king. Now, he didn't say which country you become king of, but you'll become king. Eventually, Balak, we don't know what happened in his life, but he ended up in Midian. He became one of the leaders of Midian, but not the king of Midian. So the prophecy had not yet come true. And then, with this incident, when the people of Moab were terrified, or disgusted, or both, of the Jewish people, so the people of Moab asked that Balak become their king. And now Bilam's prophecy comes true, and Balak is now the king of Moab, a place that he didn't grow up in, nor did he live in. He's a foreigner, but he becomes the king of Moab. And Balak then sends for his childhood buddy, Bilam, who was already a tested prophet. He had prophesied that he'd become king. He also prophesied that Sihon would be able to defeat Moab and take over the city of Cheshbon and conquer those lands. So now he sends to Bilam to ask him to curse the Jewish people. And that's why you have the elders of Midian mixed in over here. What does Midian have to do with anything? Because the Midian people were involved in Moab's process in getting Balak to be their king. But there's one more reason why the people of Midian were involved. Because when, as we mentioned before, when they Googled Moshe Rabbeinu's name and they got Midian, and then they spoke to the people of Midian and they asked, this Moshe person, what is his strength? Like, is he good with the bow and arrow? Does he have some sort of a magic sword? Like, what is his strength? And they told him, Moshe Rabbeinu's strength is with his mouth, his prayer, his davening. He doesn't walk around with a slingshot. He doesn't walk around with a bow and arrow or with a sword. It's his mouth. So therefore, they said, if we're fighting someone whose power is with his mouth, we need to find someone whose power is with his mouth. And Bilam's power is with his mouth. Bilam doesn't do battle with a sword or anything else, but rather with his mouth. So Balak, this really, let's go back now and see how everything fits in. Right in the beginning of the parasha, Balak ben Zippor saw all that the Jews did to the Amori. The reason why it doesn't say Balak ben Zippor, the king of Moab, is because he wasn't yet the king of Moab. Balak ben Zippor saw all that happened, and Balak ben Zippor saw an opportunity, because he knew that now there was going to be upheaval, that now there's going to be people who are afraid, there's people going to want to change, and he saw the opportunity. We don't know the details, but it makes sense that Balak maneuvered himself to be in the best position to become the king of Moab once the people of Moab were scared and disgusted enough that they were looking for a change. Yeah.
Why is it important to list the mother's name, Balak ben Zippor? Or is that a male's name and I'm just not getting it?
Rashi brings a lot of it, and then the rest of it is the Midrashim, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Zippor is a man's name.
Okay.
We're used to Zipporah. Right, we're wearing Zipporah being a woman's name, which is true, but Zippor is a man's name, is his father's name.
Is there any connection to Zipporah Moshe's wife?
So it makes sense because she's from Midian,
right.
But I don't know. I don't know how that works out. It's a good point. That's a good point. So, Balak ben Zippor saw what happened, so he's positioning himself. Moab is disgusted and afraid. Moab sends to the elders of Midian because they would know about this leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Balak ben Zippor becomes the king of Moab, and then he sends messengers to his childhood buddy, to Bilam, about how afraid he is of the Jews, and he formally asks that Bilam curse the Jewish people. And the way he sends that message is through the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, that they go and they deliver this message and ask for Bilam to come and curse the Jewish people. The Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, that the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian went, Uksamim biyadam. So they translated it as their charms in their hands. The elders of Midian and the elders of Moab were concerned that Bilam might not want to take on this job, because this was pretty serious. The Jews were, it's one thing to be willing to curse or bless nations that are fighting in regular ways. They're fighting with the regular conventional warfare, and then he's going to curse or bless or whatever it is. But now they're asking him to go up against another nation that seems to be doing the same thing he does. And so if you're not going to believe in Hashem, then what they're doing is essentially another form of sorcery or magic or whatever it is. Whatever Bilam is doing, they seem to be doing as well. So it was not necessarily going to happen that Bilam would agree to this job. So they did not want Bilam to have excuses that he would be able to easily get himself out of the job. Bilam, as we will learn, had... He had an ego that exceeds any ego that we are familiar with. Right? He had a huge ego. And he he would not have backed out without some good excuse, because it would look bad. He had a lot of pride. So they didn't want him to just be able to somehow have an excuse. Therefore, they took with them their charms. What does that mean? Rashi tells us they brought with them any and all sorcerers' bag of tricks. In other words, whatever they had in those days, whether it's a magic wand or some, whatever things they used, they brought it with, so he couldn't claim, well, you know, I left that on the subway the other day and, I can't do it anymore. They didn't want him to have an excuse. So they brought with them whatever stuff the sorcerers would use in those days. We're gonna see later another meaning for this phrase, but that's the simple meaning of the phrase. So they come and they tell him the words of Balak. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Vayomar lehem. So Bilam says to them, Linu fo halayla, sleep here tonight. Vashivosi eschem davar, and I will return to you something. In other words, I'll answer you. Kasher yidaber Hashem Eloi. And depending on what Hashem tells me, I will answer you based on what Hashem tells me. So Bilam here is telling them, I'm not a sorcerer. You think I'm a sorcerer. You think I do magic. I don't do magic. I have aligned with Hashem. So you sleep here tonight, and I'll communicate with God, and I'll get back to you. Vayeshvu sari Moav im Bilam. So the leaders of Moab, or the officers of Moab, they stayed with Bilam. So what is missing over here? Who came to Bilam? People from Midian and Moab. And who stayed with Bilam? The people of Moab. The elders of Midian Didn't hang around. Bilam says, you know, I got to talk to the boss. I'll get back to you. So sleep over, because I talked to the boss that night. So sleep over. In the morning, over breakfast, I'll give you the answer. So the elders of Moab, they take up lodging for the night. The elders of Midian, they turn around and go home. They're not hanging around. So Rashi explains that the elders of Midian, they were worried about this. They were worried that Bilam wasn't what he seemed. He seemed to be this powerful person who could curse or bless at will. But once he says that he has a boss, he's got to go check in upstairs, then the elders of Midian said, all right, forget it. This is not worth it. Because the Jews have a better ticket upstairs. Really, the elders of Midian were right. They understood if Bilam's power comes from his line with God, whatever line that is, and it may be huge, it can't possibly be as good as the Jews. And therefore, once he said that sleep over, I gotta talk to Hashem, they said, okay, you can talk to Hashem, we're going home. And they left. The elders of Moab stayed, but the elders of Midian left. And that's the other meaning for this phrase in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, that they came uksamim biyadam, and their charms in their hands. A kesem could mean a charm. A kesem could also mean an incantation. Some sort of an expression, a saying. So Rashi explains that they had this phrase in their mouths, in their hands. They had a phrase. The phrase was, if he agrees on the spot, we're in. If he says he's got to go consult with the boss, we're out. So they left. But the elders of Moab, they stayed. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vayavo Elokim el Bilam. Elokim comes to Bilam. Vayomer, and he says, Mi ha'anashim ha'ela imach. Who are these people with you? What's the obvious question?
God knows everything.
God knows that. So what do you mean, who are these people with you? So the truth is, Rashi, in this week's parasha, Parashas Bereishis, quotes this pasuk. What happened in Parashas Bereishis that's similar to this? He asks Adam, Ayeka, where are you? He asks Cain, where's your brother? So Rashi explains that, of course Hashem knew, but Hashem wanted to give them each a chance to open up the conversation, to admit what they did, to talk it out. Give them a chance. Don't just wallop them over the head. So Rashi there cites this pasuk as another example of that. Or he comes to Bilam and he says, no, who are these people? Give Bilam a chance. Let Bilam explain and say, oh, you know, he wants me to curse the Jewish people. Let him explain. Bilam says back, Vayomer Bilam Elo Elokim, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Bilam says to Hashem, Balak ben Sipor Melech Moav Shalach Eloi. Balak ben Sipor, the king of Moav, sent for me. Does that sound like name dropping? It is. Balak ben Sipor, the king of Moab, he sent for me. Right? Hinei ha'am hayotzei Mitzrayim. Behold, the nation has come out of Egypt. Vayachas asein ha'aretz. And they've covered the eye of the land, meaning you can't see the land. Ata now, lecha kavali oso. Go and curse them. Ulai uchal hilachem bo. Maybe I can make war with them. V'geirashtiv, and chase them away. Bilam does not mention the name of the nation. Right? He doesn't mention. Now, Balak didn't either. Balak, when he sent the message, he also said, this nation that came out of Egypt, Bilam also just says the nation that comes out of Egypt, not mentioning us Jews by name. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Vayomer Elokim al Bilam, Hashem says to Bilam, Lo Seilechi Mahem, you may not go with them. Lo Sa'ores Ha'am, you will not curse them. Ki Varuchu, because they are blessed. So don't bother. It's not going to work. Rashi says, what is this three phrases? Don't go with them. Don't curse them, because they are blessed. So he first said, don't go with them. To which Bilam said, okay, I'll stay here. Can I curse them from here? Hashem said, no, don't curse them. So Bilam said, okay, I won't curse them. Can I bless them? Hashem said, they're already blessed. They don't need your blessing. Okay, good, good. So this brings out an idiom that is in Chazal, which is that you say to the bee, Lo me duvsheich, v'lo me uktzeich. I don't want your honey, and I don't want your sting. Right? It's an idiom in Chazal. Meaning, there may be something sweet here, but that sweet comes with a major string attached. Maybe a major stinger attached. Right? So, we're not interested in your blessing. Our blessing comes from Hashem. We're not interested in the blessing of Bilam. We know that Bilam is going to end up trying to curse us and they're going to turn into blessings. What most people don't know is that the Gemara says that many years later, over time, the blessings of Bilam reverted to curses. That the curses that he meant to give us eventually found expression. That even though at first he did bless us and we were blessed because of what he said, but those blessings reverted to curses later in time. The Gemara says all of them reverted to curses except for one. When we get there, we'll talk about the various blessings that he gave us and the corresponding curses. At least some of them we'll be able to figure out what they are.
Why? You know, why did it happen? Did our behavior reverse?
Yes, yeah. That's, we only deserved the blessing as long as we deserved it. And once our behavior went south, then what he originally wanted to do came out. Even though he never said the curses. So, the blessing of Bilam is thanks but no thanks. Right? It's, we don't need it. You gotta understand. That's what Hashem is telling him.
What's that? Why he wanted to bless us? Because he knew that?
So I don't know. I don't know. It seems like he's saying, I wanna have some connection here. He wants a foot in the door. If he's blessing us already, well, then he's in there, and then maybe he'll have an opportunity later to curse. He's in.
But if those blessings turn to curses, then why don't we sing them in
Davening? Right. Well, we say Matovu.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, Matovu is the one that we say. Yeah, yeah. Let's hold off of that. It's a good question. But we'll get to the blessings, and we'll go through them, and we'll see what we can get out of those. That's actually a very strong question. So we'll talk about it hopefully. So Bilam wants to get involved, and Hashem says no. The Gemara tells us Bilam hated us more than Balak and Moab hated us. If you contrast Pasuk Yud Aleph verse 11. Which is very similar to Pasuk Hey and Vav, 5 and 6 together. What we really want is Pasuk Vav, verse 6. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Bilam says, there's a nation that came out of Mitzrayim, they've covered the land, and now curse them for me, maybe I'll be able to make war with them and chase them away. But in Pasuk Vav, in verse 6, what did Balak actually say? And now, go and curse this nation, for they are stronger than me. Maybe I'll be able to diminish them, and I will chase them away from the land. Balak says, I'll chase them out of the land. Bilam says, I'll chase them out. Chazal say Bilam meant I'll chase them out of existence. That's right. Right? I'll chase them into the sea. I'll chase him out of existence. Bilam wanted to get rid of us, period. Balak just wanted to get rid of us from his doorstep. He didn't want us near him. Bilam wanted to get rid of us. As we mentioned, Bilam is related to Lavan. We mentioned this actually in Parshas Chukas, but Bilam is related to Lavan. He comes from there, from Haran, and he's related to Lavan. Lavan, there's a difference of opinion exactly what the relationship is, whether Bilam is Lavan or Bilam is a descendant of Lavan. It doesn't really matter. The main thing is that he is of the same genre as Lavan. Whether he's his son, his grandson, his great-grandson, whatever it is, but he is within Lavan's family, which means we're related to him. Right? Rachel, Leah, Rivka, we're related to Lavan, and Bilam is either Lavan himself or a descendant of Lavan. If you hold the place over here and turn back to the end of Parshas Vayetze, which is where Yaakov and Lavan have their confrontation, we're actually going to be coming back to this several times throughout Parshas Balak. If you look on page 164, Yaakov is running away from Lavan with his whole family, and he gets to Gilad, to Har HaGilad, and there Lavan catches up with him, and now they're going to have a confrontation. Before the confrontation starts, unknown to Yaakov, Hashem appears to Lavan. What does Lavan deserve to have Hashem appear to him? But Hashem appears to Lavan. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24. Vayavo Elokim al Lavan ha'arami b'chalom ha'loyla. Hashem appeared to Lavan the Aramite in the dream of the night. Vayomer lo, he said to him, he shomer lecha, be very careful, pentidaberim Yaakov, lest you speak to Yaakov, mitov ad ra. From good to bad. Not your good, not your bad. Don't deal with Yaakov, you stay out. That's what Hashem tells him. And here, Rashi says, I'll read the Rashi here in Parshas Vayetze, Kol tovasan shel rishayim, all the good of the evil people, ra hi eitzel hatzadikim, is bad for the tzadikim. We don't want his blessings, we don't want his help, we don't want anything he can give us that is quote-unquote good, because ultimately it's bad, because it connects us to the rasha, to Lavan. The same expression of don't give me your bad, don't give me your good, that's what Hashem is telling Bilam over here, and Bilam is connected to Lavan. Same idea. Just leave the Jews alone. You're not wanted in their lives, not for bad or not for good, just leave them alone. Now, we know, of course, that Bilam is not going to take no for an answer, and he's eventually going to try to curse us. But the initial communication with Hashem is clear. Hashem says to him, stay out. Don't get involved. Stay home and leave the Jews alone. Bilam is really writing his own death warrant. Because once he starts getting involved with us Jews, he will first of all try to curse us, he's going to bless us, but eventually he's going to get killed because of all of this. So Hashem really is giving him good advice for him, which is stay out of this, stay home. And that's an important perspective also to be aware of as we move along in the parasha. We're going to see that several times Hashem really intervenes on behalf of Bilam, because Bilam would be protected if he would stay out of it. But because he's got to push the envelope and push the envelope and push the envelope, he's going to end up hurting himself. Okay, any other questions? Okay, I know we're a few minutes early, but let's pause over here.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.